Okay, let's come back to order here. We'll finish up staff real quick. Pat, anything from you?
Yes, Mr. Chairman, four quick things. One is, I think everybody's trying to make a concerted effort, to agree with good observations and comments like Judy Cohen had and Nicole Bart in terms of the audit. But also, rather than just sit back and listen to incorrect information and have our papers and others reported as such, I want to correct something, because I actually texted the chief and said, how did we get so many employers? Mr. Beach threw out 31 firefighters out there, and inclusive of the chief, the accurate number, on our staff countywide in very diverse areas, including Rainbow Bend and Anime, is 22. We do employ some reserves. Those are less than part-time, and those are clearly geared at keeping our overtime costs down. So while numbers out there like 31 may seem to shock people, the real numbers, I think, when you drill into where we are, is even more important. So 22 is correct. At the last commission meeting, you voted to take a stance of neutrality on SB 272. This is the boundary adjustment bill between Washoe County and Story County, the two different parts of the county, counties. Again, contrary to what you may have read in the paper, while I was at the legislature, I did not testify, but as you know, Mr. Chairman, you and our government affairs director did testify together with Washoe County's chief lobbyist, and both counties have taken a position of neutrality. The amendment providing for independent actions on both of those parcels by both commissions was clearly embedded in the amended bill. I understand that it has passed out of committee, and I don't believe it has passed out of Senate yet. I have not gotten that notification from the reminder, this Friday, big day here in Virginia City, and I'd encourage anybody that has an interest to come. It is Earth, well, it's our observance of Earth Day. I think Earth Day might be on Monday. Key to this is the USDA, their rural government group under Sarah Adler, have chosen Story County as a prime example of how USDA can promote and foster the spirit of Earth Day. There will be, and remember, these are fine folks that are giving us over $5 million, or loaning us and giving us a combination amount of over $5 million. Mm-hmm. So there'll be a ceremony at the Fourth Ward School at 10:30 in the afternoon, morning, excuse me. And then there will be a no-host lunch at the Cafe Del Rio immediately following that. Congressman Amity is expected to be there to speak, and a number of our federal, state, and local government partners. So it's a great opportunity. And I do want to remind everybody, I've seen some media coverage on this. I encourage Angela and Karen to again remind everybody, we're going to probably put out a verbal notification. Free dump days. Waste Management is consented to give us May 3rd and 4th here at the Virginia City Transfer Station. The landfill is much more convenient, particularly for our Lockwood folks, but actually anybody in the county can use this that doesn't mind driving out there. And that is, the landfill's open this Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, 18, 19, and 20. And then 2 weeks from now, again, if I have the day right anyway, the 2nd, 3rd, and 4th, in conjunction with the 3rd and 4th up here. I got a great crew going between Mike Nevin, Gary, Denny Dotson, and Jeff Wood, who I mentioned last time, where we're really trying to mount, some aggressive use of this. Spoke with Commissioner Gillen today, and I understand that Saturday is cleanup day out in the Rainbow Bend Lockwood area. But this is a great opportunity to get rid of your junk and, make our communities a proud place to be. So I intend to travel out to Lockwood. I got so much I don't want to cram it in this transfer station. That's it, sir.
To pick up loads. Yeah.
Nothing.
Bill? I just want to say that little Renee Hamasi is going to be gone at the end of this month. She will have been here about 4 months. She got credit towards her law degree. She's going to be graduating in May and then taking the bar up in Washington for the summer. But She's done a lot of good, she might actually get the Roberta Webster situation that I've been dealing with ever since I've been DA, cleared up. She's done a lot of work on that and a lot of other things, so if any of you get a chance, thank her for working for Story County for free for the last 4 months, but she's done a good job. Yeah, she'll be gone at the end of this month.
And if I could chime in on Renee, I gotta tell you something, that is a young lady that maybe someday we can encourage to come back and follow in your footsteps. She is,
she does a good job.
She's been one of the most impressive students I've ever come across.
And I'm hoping I'll get another one, but I don't know if I'll be that lucky. If I get a couple more before I leave, then I can treat this like the vacation job I thought it was gonna be when I went for it.
It can take a whole hour now.
Yeah, take a whole hour at lunch for that instead of just a half an hour, which I missed today. But
yeah.
The other thing is I argued the, we had oral arguments on the CRA's Comstock mining case yesterday. One of the issues that's come up now is the mootness of whether or not he's going to decide it at all, because it's moot because of the fact that the trucks are off the state highway. But we should be getting a decision on that within the next couple of weeks, potentially in our favor. If not, then the case will still go on. We'll have to do some discovery, but that's what I feel like. I'm the DA at Carson City now. Again, I was down there all afternoon, and I was there this morning on criminal cases, so. Mm-hmm. But that's about it.
Wow. Okay. All righty, I think we got everyone. We'll move along to item 16, approve resolution 13-372 to recognize April 24th as Denim Day. And Sue is going to come up and tell us about Denim Day. How are you today?
Nervous. I haven't done this before. Sue Jones for Victim Services Unit. Before I read the resolution, I'd like to give you just a little bit of background on it. In 1994, in Italy, a 45-year-old driving instructor picked up his 18-year-old student. He drove her to an isolated area where he forcibly raped her and then returned her home, threatening her, of course, not to tell anybody. The perpetrator was arrested after she filed a complaint. He was prosecuted and convicted of rape. He appealed his conviction all the way to the Italian Supreme Court. His conviction was overturned, dismissed, and he was released from jail. The judge stated when he overturned his conviction that since her genes were so very, very tight, she must have assisted him in removing them, making this consensual sex, and therefore it was not considered to be rape. Enraged by the verdict, the women of the Italian Parliament protested. This call to action motivated the California Senate and the Assembly to do the same in 1999, declaring Denim Day, which was established then and continues each year here. This will be our first year recognizing it in Nevada in 2013. April is Sexual Assault Awareness Month, and therefore we recognize Denim Day, and we're asking all of our county employees, mostly the women, but you guys can participate too, to wear jeans. We also have an event planned at the high school. Myself, Victim Services Unit, and volunteers that we have go to the high school presenting, educating, and including our high school students on sexual assault, date rape, and such. So our resolution to Story County is actually coming from the commissioners, or asking for your approval. Do you want to read that, or would you like me to read
it? I'd like you to read it.
Resolution 13-372, resolution to recognize April 24th, 2013 as Denim Day. Whereas Nevada and other states have declared April as Sexual Assault Awareness Month, and the Story County Victim Services Unit has declared April 24th, 13 as Denim Day. And whereas both events are intended to draw attention to the fact that rape and sexual assault remain serious issues in our society. And whereas harmful attitudes about rape and sexual assault allow these crimes to persist, allowing survivors to be re-victimized through victim-blaming attitudes and unresponsive government systems. And whereas Sexual Assault Awareness Month and Denim Day are also intended as methods of calling attention to the misconceptions and misinformation about rape and sexual assault, as well as the problem that many in our society remain uninformed about assault and forcible rape. Whereas the importance of this issue is underlined by statistics indicating that approximately 1 in 4 women and 1 in 10 men are raped in adulthood, and the sexual assault victimization rate for youths under 18 of age has been documented as 1 in 4 for girls and 1 in 6 for boys. Whereas with proper education on the matter, there is a compelling evidence that we can be successful in reducing incidents of this alarming and psychologically damaging crime. Whereas the County Commission strongly supports the efforts of the Victim Services Unit to educate persons in our community about the true impact of rape and sexual assault in Nevada. Now, therefore, be it resolved by the Board of County of Commissioners of Story County that April 24, 2013 be recognized as Denim Day in support of victims of sexual assault, educating Story County residents on the issue of sexual violence. Adopted this 16th day of April, 2013 by the Board of Commissioners of Story County.
Motion.
Motion. Chairman, I move that we approve Resolution 13-372.
I'll second.
Recognize.
Okay, go ahead.
April 24th, 2013 as Denim Day in support of victims of sexual violence.
All right. I will second that. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Thank you, and we would like to invite all of you to join us at our event on the 24th at the high school. We have established a competition among the students. They are all decorating jeans that we describing what Denim Day represents.
All righty.
Thank you.
Thanks, Sue. Next page. Item 17 is a special use permit by the Nature Conservancy.
Chairman, Commissioners, thank you. For the record, my name is Austin Osborne. I'm the planner for the county in this regard. Also present with us is Patty Bonker. She's the applicant from the Nature Conservancy. I'm going to go ahead and turn this over to Patty. She has an explanation of what the project is. But just to kind of give you a very brief summary, the Planning Commission had provided unanimous approval of this on March 21st. It includes approximately 87-acre piece of property over by Mars Candy Bar, or dog food, and the Envy Energy Power Plant. It's not located within the boundaries of the Tahoe-Reno Industrial Center, but it is in McCarran. So everything you see here is going to be related to I-2 zoning as it exists not that that pertains to Tri-Center. It's zoned I-2, heavy industrial, and also in our natural resources. So I'm going to go ahead and ask Patty to come up. After her presentation, I'm happy to provide any clarification on what took place at the Planning Commission. I'd like to read some findings into the record for or against, and then also discuss a couple other key aspects that are just pertaining to our zoning and code. Thank you.
Is this upstream or downstream from Rainbow Bend?
Downstream.
Downstream, okay. Oh, way, way down. Okay. All right. So,
thank you, Mr. Chairman, Commissioners. Again, I am Patty Bacher. I'm the project manager for the Nature Conservancy's Truckee River project. And you have copies of a PowerPoint presentation I'll go through quickly and then answer any questions you have on the project. So just to review briefly the Nature Conservancy's involvement in the Truckee River, we have been active for almost 20 years in improvement efforts for the Truckee River, beginning first in the early 90s, working with others to see an improvement in in-stream flows for water quality and wildlife habitat purposes. While doing that, came to a realization of how seriously degraded the lower Truckee River system had gotten to be. And realizing how much more intensive restoration efforts were needed to reverse the serious degradation going on there. So the purpose of our efforts has been to restore and enhance the water quality and habitats of the river, of the Truckee, to a more natural condition by restoring the biological and physical function of the river. And our primary focus, since the mission of the Nature Conservancy is basically preservation of biodiversity, so restoring those habitats is our primary purpose, but there's also a host of other benefits that go along with that, which I'll discuss in a minute. But first, to discuss a little bit about how seriously degraded it had gotten to be. And that's over 150 years since settlement of the area through municipal developments, dam inversions of the water and whatnot. But the primary physical effect to the river was the channelizing of the river in the 1960s by the Corps of Engineers. That drastically altered the physical form of the river and led to a whole host of negative effects, including destabilization of the banks as the river was scoured. The water table dropped lower and lower. That led to the native vegetation dying off, since its roots can no longer reach the water table as it dropped, as it lowered. Invasion of native or non-native invasive plant species taking the place of those native plants, thereby reducing increasing the temperature of the river, since the shading gone away. Habitat went away, so a lot of serious effects from these actions over time. So again, while we're primarily interested in the wildlife habitat restoration, as we're doing that, other benefits are realized as well, including bringing back the flood attenuation, since we're working to reconnect the river with its floodplain by raising the bed of the river, lowering the banks and the floodplain, thereby allowing the river to flow over its banks and onto the floodplain as intended. Water quality is also increased as we get the shading back from the native vegetation and the nutrient intake that those native plants provide as well as recreation opportunities. Prior to these restoration efforts, there really wasn't good legal and safe access to the Truckee River downstream from Sparks. And so as a result of the projects that we've already worked on, the four projects we've done, there's now access to the river. There's places to input and take out boats, rafts, and kayaks, and access for fishermen, hikers, and whatnot along the river. So our actions to date, the first thing that allowed us to jump into restoration efforts was the acquisition of the McCarran Ranch downstream, and there's a map on page 4 that shows the properties on the lower river in relation to each other. So McCarran Ranch was purchased in 2002. We did a preliminary pilot project in 2003 on 20 acres to test out some of the project elements that we were considering. That worked out really well. So in 2006, we did the full project on another 100 acres at McCarran Ranch. While we were working on those, some public lands became available for, you know, access and restoration efforts. The BLM now manages Mustang Ranch and 102 Ranch, so those properties became available for restoration, as well as the Lockwood property owned by Washoe County, just across from Rainbow Bend. So we then worked on a phase of restoration on those three properties, implementing the Lockwood and 102 Ranch projects in 2008, and then the Mustang Ranch project in 2009. So to date, out of the 20 miles of river that we're focusing on between Sparks and Wadsworth, we've worked on approximately 9 miles of those and about 600 acres of revegetation efforts. So what we're looking to do now is fill in between those areas where we can gain access to. And you'll see the Tracy project, that's the subject of today's discussion, is downstream from McCarran Ranch and just upstream from the 102 Ranch project. And so that's on land owned by NV Energy as part of the Tracy Power Plant. And so NV Energy has been a really good partner. We're working with them. They've granted a conservation easement for the project footprint to protect the work that's being done into the future. And future efforts, there's a possibility at upstream from Mustang Ranch and part of the old Perry Ranch area to fill in there later. That's what we're working on right now, that Tracy project. And in the packet there's some pages with before and after pictures just showing some of the work that's been done so far, what the river channel used to look like at McCarran, Lockwood, 102, and Mustang, and what they look like now and some of the revegetation efforts. Again, the restoration efforts that have been done so far have been very successful. We've learned from each project that's been implemented how best to, you know, how better to do this work that we're implementing. So on page 7, there's some details on the Tracy project. Again, similar project elements to previous projects that we've done. We're going to be lowering the floodplain on both the north and south banks of the river, constructing a new channel section in the south bank of the river. If you look at historic aerial photographs, there are actually channel scars on the north bank of the river there in that reach, and you can tell a certain sinuosity that was in the river at that time. Now, that north bank area is not available to us now because there's a cooling pond that needs to be protected because this is an operating power plant. But that south floodplain, NV Energy doesn't have any current or planned future activities in that south floodplain, so that is available. So the project design seeks to recreate that same amount of sinuosity in the river that used to be present on the north side, now on the south side of the current river channel. So that new channel section will try to recreate that. We'll be putting in riffles, which are rock structures, again, as part of the effort to raise the bed of the river. And there is a certain amount of elevation difference between the upstream end of the project and the downstream end, so there'll be a number of grade control structures, and the riffles also help with that stepping down of the elevation through there. There will be pretty significant berms installed to protect the cooling pond on the north side and the south side, again, that are still in use by NV Energy. So that's a bit of a difference from previous projects. There will be a little bit more riprap involved in the projects just to put in those berms to provide adequate protection. Schedule and timeline for the project. We did just receive, late last week, the draft 100% designs, so planning is pretty much completed there. The NEPA, the National Environmental Protection Act, process was completed last year in 2012. There is a finding of no significant impact in place for the environmental assessment and the biological opinion that were prepared last year. So that has been satisfied. A number of the permits have already been applied for. We've applied for the Corps and the state permits so far, and we'll be, now that we do have our final rock numbers and our cut and fill numbers, we'll be applying for our grading permits in the near future. And we're looking to start site prep activities in late July with in-stream work starting in August, depending on water levels. We shoot for the low flow period of the year, which is about 300 CFS in the river, and that's typically beginning of August.
All right, Chairman, can I inject just one?
Go ahead.
One key element I want to make very clear for the record that on page 4, the second slide, Ms. Bacher referred to this accurately, but I want to draw attention so there's no confusion. The 2009 project, Mustang Ranch, that is property still owned and managed by BLM, but it's not the Mustang Ranch as we know it today. In its current location, that is the old Mustang Ranch. So, Commissioner Gilman has no conflict of interest, in my opinion, on this. No. This is not his property. And then also, I want to compliment Ms. Bacher and the Nature Conservancy for a couple of things. One is, Dean and I have watched you guys work on all these projects over the years. You've done some amazing things that I think, in one part, hope that we never have to test to make sure that it's going to work from a flood project, but to watch particularly the 102 ranch and those areas, you've done some incredible things. I also want to compliment you personally on your wisdom for avoiding April 2nd. This matter was on your agenda for April 2nd.
It was actually Austin's day.
And as you might recall, and you may not know this, that was a 12-hour meeting. Those benches get very quiet after 12 hours.
Yeah, it was anticipated to be a number of hours in that meeting. So.
I thought it was 14.
Felt like that?
Only 12. Quick question. I share maybe what you told me. I think the projects that they've done have been wonderful, and I basically have lived there, been there, as a property owner since you started. And so I've watched the evolution of the restoration, and indeed is beautiful and it works.
Thank you.
And I'm certainly in support of this project. I have one question that's been haunting me, and not necessarily a negative in this case whatsoever, but perhaps you can answer a perplexing question for me. The Corps straightened out the river in 1961, and as I understood it, they did that to relieve flood issues upstream.
Right.
They wanted the water to pass through quickly, not as much of it, and so I'm not sure what they were protecting upstream, but maybe Sparks, maybe Reno, maybe other communities. In going back and restoring the river to the pre-channelization dates, are there impacts, potential or otherwise, that they looked at fixing back in 61 that are going to reoccur?
Not as the projects are intended. So back when they straightened the river, it was, as you said, an intent to get water out of the Truckee Meadows that much sooner, because just geographically, that area is like a basin, with, you know, the drain point being that east side of Sparks, where the canyon just naturally narrows and the Vista Reefs were there, and so the water wasn't draining out of there very fast. And one of the reasons for that is the amount of development that had happened increased the runoff. Right, in the Truckee Meadows. So flood flows trying to get downstream were increased because of the increased runoff. So they were trying to alleviate that problem. It was a well-intentioned effort to get water, you know, flood waters out of that basin that much sooner in a flood event. And it worked temporarily. It increased velocities downstream. It got, you know, water moving faster. But because it was so channelized, it just scoured more and more. And that, you know, sloughed the banks, dropped the water table down farther, so that over time it was more of a deeper ditch. And so without access to the floodplain, the water has nowhere to spread out. And so over time it became more of a problem in that regard. And so what these projects seek to do, again, raise the bed of the river, lower the floodplain, so that the water can then spread out again, and you get that flood attenuation back. So it's actually an improvement to the level of the flood waters going downstream.
One of the things we're wrestling with right now is upstream at our Lockwood Rainbow Bend specific area.
Right.
They're anticipating significant flooding there, and at least sitting through the flood meetings, and they're talking about as much as like the drastic thing is raising all the homes along the river 2 or 3 feet. And so they're planning significant flooding. Are there any impacts that are going on based on what's happening downriver that are exacerbating the problem there in the Lockwood area? Or have you studied that specifically to help us understand what's happening?
Actually, the projects that are happening downstream will allow floodwaters to spread out and result in less of a backup. And the flood project actually has a restoration component in it. And the reason that was inserted is because these projects do allow for more area for the floodwaters to spread out, and so it alleviates flooding concerns.
So theoretically, they'll do a better job than what the Corps had done with their channelization.
Right. Floodplains are natural parts of, you know, river systems. And so as, you know, man's action sometimes affects the functioning of those floodplains. And so, again, you know, development and paving over some areas, increasing runoff and that kind of thing, that impacts the ability of the floodplain to function. What these projects do, because they're downstream and there aren't neighboring properties to impact, it's allowing the river to access that floodplain again, and it's functioning as it's intended to do.
Have you folks studied our Rainbow Bend area? Have you looked at that as an issue?
It was part of the modeling.
Coming from your department?
It was part of the modeling for the Lockwood project, because it's immediately downstream from the Lockwood project, but not necessarily in the other individual projects. We, you know, hydrologically model each project before construction and after construction, you know, post-project modeling, and just verifying that there's no rise, no impact within the property or upstream and downstream from the project site.
Lance, they cannot affect what they call a one-foot rise on the Truckee River of whatever they do. So they have to make sure when they model and go through FEMA and the studies and everything, I got to make sure that they don't affect. Basically, what they're doing is raising the river and letting it flood out more and relieve more downstream in some of those areas so there's more area to take more water out so the water can come down. But yeah, we still have the Rainbow Bend problem.
Oh, is that bad?
Well, that means it's channelized through there, the pinch points with the bridge and everything else. There's only so much area for water to go through, and they want to bring more water down by taking up with Vista Reefs, and that's not their project, but they want to basically take out a natural dam so more water will come through. Yeah, that seems to be as 20 years ago, I said, no way to help. They will say on May 15th.
Just being coordinated through Truckee River flood.
Yeah, it has been. In fact, part of this is, you know, the Nature Conservancy is doing the project. It's their project. The Truckee River Flood Project, as Dita said, is really advocating and pushing and funding these projects in Story County. And while they're good for nature and good for the river and the environments, really they also serve as flood storage for a lot of Washoe County. So Washoe County sends the flood waters down our way, and then through the ecosystem restoration, spread it out into Story County and store it temporarily before it ends up in Pyramid Lake. So, yeah, that's exactly what's happening.
And we work closely with the flood project. In fact, they're the holders of the conservation easement granted by NV Energy.
Good.
There's a couple other ones.
Go ahead and finish your
some of them minor. Just to let you know what's going on, you know, we're all aware of the petroleum pipeline that runs through this area. This was a major issue in the Mustang project. It's not an issue here. The pipeline is well out of this area, so they can dig and do whatever they need to do and not have to worry at all about that. Access is going to really take place in three places. The applicant's developing a emergency access plan with the fire district because really to access it, it's just unusual. You have to go kind of through the power plant, make a couple left turns. It's just different. Another access temporarily would be from Waltham Way, and then one will be through the river. They have a permit for that from the state to do that, and then that'll be a temporary access. So that's it. I should make a note here that we already mentioned the conservation easement, so this will be in perpetuity. It'll remain as it is, an easement for this purpose. They can't really build there or develop it or change what's happened there, just what is there now. There's about 16 overhead power lines that Patty's well aware of. They'll be relocating those. They're not major power lines. They're kind of like the ones you see around here in town. But they've worked with NV Energy in getting those things placed as needed. And they'll also, as like Dean said, they'll have to submit an override certificate from FEMA to make sure that they don't exceed the current MAPS base flood elevation. So in other words, the project will not cause the river to raise, to have any higher flooding than it is. And then I just want to reiterate one more time before I go into findings that this project is located in McCarran, but not within Tri-City's boundaries. So nothing applicable to development agreement or anything applies.
Okay, findings of fact.
Okay, if the board, to make a motion to approve this, I'll just read them verbatim. It is the following are found to be factual regarding the proposal for special use permit under recommended conditions of approval under subsection 10 of this report. A motion for the approval for these findings. Story County Code Section 1735.040T and 1776.020H uses subject to a special use permit. Require a special use permit for nature resource projects, including river and waterway restoration, wetland creation, and recycling in the I-2 heavy industrial and the NR natural resources zones. B, the subject line is located in McCarran, Nevada, but is not located within the boundaries of the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center. Therefore, the proposed use is not subject to the restrictions or the entitlements of the development agreement between Story County and the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center. C, the conditions of special use permit 2013-004 will not conflict with the purpose and intent or other specific requirements in the I-2 heavy industrial zone and the natural resource NR zone in which the project is located. D, the proposed project and the final product will not conflict with or adversely impact surrounding existing land uses, future land uses, or land use entitlements therein under the I-2 heavy industrial zone. E, the conditions under special use permit 2013-004 are at least as stringent and not in conflict with applicable federal, state, and county regulations. The minimum requirements under Story County Code Chapter 1703 administrative provisions for special use permits are applied to the conditions of the special use permit. And last one, the conditions of approval under SUP number 13004 impose sufficient regulations on the proposed project to reasonably mitigate associated impacts on the surrounding environment and closest land uses. If a motion were made to approve, then that would tie into obviously the conditions of approval apply, and then on page 14 of your report would have proposed language for an approval, and this board is also welcome to add additional findings if finds appropriate to that, or do not.
All right. So, you have a motion?
So,
yes. There we are.
I'll make the motion. Mr. Chairman, I move to approve special use permit number 2013-004 by the Nature Conservancy, McCarran. Applicant is requesting a special use permit in order to alter portions of the existing Truckee River channel and abutting floodplain environment to facilitate flood management, water quality improvement, biodiversity and habitat improvement, noxious weed eradication, and recreation.
Commissioner Gillen, can you also integrate in that? That's a good motion that the findings read into the record also be incorporated into that.
I so move that the findings read into the record be incorporated in my motion.
And the conditions of approval under the special
use permit. And the conditions of approval under the special use permit.
Thanks.
All of the above.
I'll second it. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
In the future, you're going to have to stand up. Right.
Thank you.
Aye. Quite a. All right. Thanks for stopping by. Okay, 18 licensing.
Well, Patty didn't tell you that's a $6.5 million project.
Ooh.
So. Commissioners, I'd ask that you continue A, associated crane and oil field log business license, and the fire department has a few cleanup items that they have asked that they clean up down there.
Okay.
Make a motion.
Motion to continue item A.
You want that as a single motion or?
Yeah.
So I hereby make a motion to continue item A, Associated Crane and Oil Field Log.
Second.
/235 Linden, comma, PRI.
Okay, I'll second. All in favor?
Aye.
Okay.
I ask that you approve business licenses B through F as they have met all the requirements of Story County.
Mr. Chairman, I move that we approve items B through F.
Okay.
For the licensing board, second reading.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Board comment?
I do have.
Go ahead.
Put my way through a board comment here.
I'm bored. Go ahead.
Mr. Chairman, I am requesting that the Story County staff undertake a review and consideration for creating a new Story County department. The department would work directly under the Story County Commissioners and reporting to County Manager Pat Whitten. It's become evident that all of our community outreach programs are being administered by a number of different departments. And Mr. Dodson and his department through the BCTC has some programs, for example, the RSVP, DARE, Community Support Fund, Petroglyphs, Library, St. Mary's Arts Center, Fourth Ward School, as an example. And those are budgeted for Mr. Dodson and a part of his responsibility. And then we have an area of the community chest and some of the areas that they're responsible for. Then we have our community centers. And we have a new community center at Mark Twain. We have a new community center at Lockwood. We have a community center here in Virginia City. All of those requiring a certain level of oversight and budget expansion. The Sheriff's Department has done a fabulous job of working on some senior outreach programs. And those are programs that include things like Health and Human Services and senior programs from Meals on Wheels to senior transportation to the week care programs. We have park oversight, and all of the parks, be it VC, Mark Twain, Lockwood, the Highlands, all require a certain level of oversight and responsibility through the department head. We have a lot of special events that are taking place, okay, from community cleanup days to Easter egg hunts. We have grant preparation in all of the communities, and the grants will all be considered for, whether it be Mark Twain or Lockwood Rainbow Bend or others. We have neighborhood watch programs in all of the communities, along with a lot of special events. So my suggestion is we combine all of those under a new department with a new department head that would be called the Community Outreach Department of Story County. And that it be administered by a department head, and that it be funded with a separate budget and oversight under the direction of the commission and for the direction of our county manager. So I ask at this time that be taken under consideration, and that we open a research project to look at the viability of such a program.
All righty. Anything else, sir?
I can't make the motion, so I just
well,
have to stand.
Well, can't make it. A motion. This no, is just a discussion item, but certainly we'll take it under advisement. And I have nothing, so we are adjourned. Go home.